and verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. And I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 1, forgive me. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron? Now Ahaziah was the son of King Ahab, and we know what that house was like. You see, Ahab was a very wicked man, a very wicked king that did very wicked things. His wife being a large proponent of Baal worship, bringing a lot of those prophets over to Israel, setting up this kingdom of a very fleshly, a very awful set of worship. And they tried and they tried to make sure that it would prosper among God's people. And to all accounts, it was going well. So you could only imagine what this young man grew up dealing with. Now, of course, we know that Ahab had died. Jezebel, sadly, was still alive. And I know that's an awful thing to say, but Jezebel had an awful effect on people. Was it not her that gave the advice? He won't give you the land. Kill him. She was an awful kind of a person, probably an awful kind of a mother too, for her lack of value in life and her lack of value over the God of Israel. But poor Ahaziah, he's not having a good go of it. You see, his father died, so Moab, they get all righteous and they decide they're going to fight back. And he falls through the lattice work and he falls and he's hurt. And because of that, we see that he's sick. Now, when it says sick, does that mean that he's healing from his wounds from having fallen? Did infection set in? Was he bleeding internally? We don't know. But we know that it's no good. And what's revealed in us often is revealed in us when we are going through a hard time. When bad stuff is happening. There's Ahaziah. Moab is rebelling. My body is failing. And he was just a young man too. He hadn't yet had a son. Everything's going south. What was revealed of him in his tribulation? Who he truly served. And who he truly loved. Hey, get the messengers together. Go out and inquire of Baalzebub whether or not I'm going to die. Now, I don't know, I mean, Baal worship, if you try to study what Baal worship was, there's a lot of facets, a lot of moving parts. There was a lot of different statues, a lot of different images that go into Baal worship, Baalzebub being part of it. And it gets confused, and we don't know a lot. They didn't preserve a lot of information. But I'm assuming that there was some kind of casting lots, magic eight ball type thing that they could go and inquire, hey, is Ahaziah going to die? Shake, shake, shake. Don't know. No. Hey, go and inquire whether or not I'm going to die. We see around us a world that is so far removed from God. We are trying to answer questions to life's riddles. Or we're trying to answer life's riddles in the weirdest of ways. And for those of us that love and follow the Lord, it can be very frustrating to see these things happening. We know that coming up on Tuesday there is an election, and I know that you're not supposed to mix religion and politics, but how can I take my belief system out of the way I vote? I just never understood. You're not supposed to bring your religion into the polls. Well, where am I supposed to put my worldview? And whose worldview am I supposed to use? Ours, you can keep it. You can keep it. We understand that Tuesday it's coming up, and I've sat there, no doubt you've sat there too. Anybody else notice there is a larger than normal push to mail in your vote? Now help me out. What was the big problem in the last election? What did we seriously mess up? The mail-in votes. Now, what about, anybody remember back when Bush ran the whole thing with Bush? It was the hanging chads, right? Had to fix that. We began to doubt our election process. We really did. So now we got the little bubbles. We fill in the bubbles. Things are different. It's different now. And you know what we need? We need constantly different. I wonder when we're going to be able to make that move to where I can digitally vote from my cell phone. Now, why would I poke holes in this? What's the whole purpose of that? Because we're making it easier to cheat the system. And I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. Well, I care if you're a Democrat or Republican. But I don't. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, it should bother you that we're finding making it easier to cheat. Right? We should. Right? It's like many of us, we wouldn't go down to the casino. Why? Because we know the rule. The house always wins. Whose games are those? Well, they're the casinos. Whose dealers are those? Well, they represent the casino. Right? Who bought the cards? The casino. Who runs the odds? The casino. And yet every time we walk away, we go, oh, bad luck. And you see they've got billions of dollars of infrastructure there to set things up. And we go, oh, bad luck. We put our faith in the wrong things. We blame the wrong things. Now, I'm going to go vote. That was not my petition that we can't trust the system, so don't go vote. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have a propensity to fall into things. Because that's just what everyone else is doing. Why did Ahaziah reach out to Beelzebub? Because that's mommy's God. And that's what mommy would always tell daddy to do. And that's what we would so often see in our houses. We would go to Baal to see what Baal had to say. Thankfully, God sends Elijah to answer them instead. His answer was very clear. Ahaziah, you have made your bed. Now you've got to lie in it. And folks, we can never forget that that is the penalty for doing things our way and being selfish and corrupting things so we can do things the way we want them. Is that once we make that bed, we have to lie in it. See, what I find amazing is listen to the arguments that we hear today about abortion. Of course, it's always the child when we want to talk about future health concerns, right? The child wouldn't have much of a quality of life, so it's good for us to end the life. Hey, if we were to let this child go, it would be a drain on our system. We already have an overtaxed child care system. We're already struggling when it comes down to foster care. So really, it would be best for all involved if they didn't enter into the system, if we just killed them right there. Wow. Oh, and we can't, even if the mom chooses to keep it, the welfare system is so boxed and so beat down right now. It would be best for the child and for all of us if it did not come into the world. And I'm sitting here, you know what I'm doing? I'm biding my time. Because you know what eventually is going to happen? We're going to take those same arguments and we're going to use them for euthanasia. Oh, don't. I did that one time. Somebody got upset. Like, oh, don't you say that. We would never do that. Well, did you know that in Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Luxembourg and the Netherlands, New Zealand, Spain, and several states in Australia have legalized euthanasia. And you got to face pretty darn close to the same criteria. And we would never have a country out there find some method or way that would gently ease off our older population. And perhaps while they're experimenting with it, it got out. And we as Americans, we would never participate, particularly not five Democratic governors, participate in that behavior by taking people that were sick with that disease and force them into retirement centers. We would never accuse anyone of doing that, would we? But here we are. Here we are. And one of these days, these people, they get all hot in the face about their ability to murder a child. And not, oh, it's not a child, it's not a child, it's a clump of cells. You're a clump of cells. You're just bigger. You see this little clump of cells, that's their liver. You see that little clump of cells, that's their lungs. You've just got more cells. Right? You're winning by size alone. One of these days, while we're, those people who are getting hot in the face will be sitting there while their family goes, well, Grandma, you're kind of a drain on our Social Security. And as a nation, we're in such bad shape with our health care, Medicare can't afford to give you this surgery. So we could either out of pocket come up with $200,000 to get you this medication, get you this operation, get you this whatever you need, or we just pull on this thing. It'll happen. And it always makes me sad when people say, oh, that would never happen. That's just preachers painting this apocalyptic. It's happening. It's happening already. Remember back when preachers used to preach against the television? No, nothing bad. And then they started doing what? They started engineering our social mindset. Well, that's a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy if they're out there saying we're doing it. It's not. Right? Many of you watch football, right? When they run a play, is that a conspiracy? No, they practice the play. They got the play written down. They know exactly what we're doing. Most often not, we know the name of the play too when we see it. Right? Right. When they come out and they say, well, what we've got to do is we've got to re-educate people. What we've got to do is we've got to entertain them with knowledge that we want them to have. And then we've got to get a hold of the school system and we got to teach them that way. That's not a conspiracy. They literally told us what the plan was and we were like, no. And now it's happened. Hey, listen, the homosexuality, teaching kids sexuality from a young age would never, never lead to pedophilia. I hear it getting louder, do you? I hear it getting louder. There are things we wouldn't even dream of entertaining that are being entertained right now. When we're sitting there, we've got little boys dressed up as girls, and we put them up on a stage to dance before a bunch of perverted men. And we call it freedom. Look at how far we've advanced. Meanwhile, we want to throw up. You've got those that marched for social justice for homosexuals to get married. So they're going, if we knew this would happen, we would have stayed silent. But because we're allies and we want to be decent human beings according to the world's standard, can't say nothing. That's so mean to say something. What we do matters. What we put our faith in matters. Ahaziah was falling apart at the seams, and he stretched out to a God that could neither hear him, nor understand him, nor do anything for him. And there's Elijah, and oh, you know they didn't like Elijah. Very hard to be the prophet Elijah. You preached against my daddy. You embarrassed my mommy. Mom's still mad at you for all those prophets that were her friends. That you slew that day when the fire fell down. I don't know what trick you played to get that fire to come down. But you really messed stuff up for us. Does that sound familiar? That preacher, he's up there preaching this hate speech. It's hate speech. He hates people. I don't sit there and scream, there's fire that way. Don't go if I don't care about the people headed that way. That's the purpose of it. Why do you think Elijah was able to say the things that he said and stand the way that he did to be able to sit there and say, hey, is there not a God in Israel you could have asked? You're going to die. How do you get to be able to say that? Because this family had done so much to turn Israel. from the one true God. Elijah wasn't some modern day religionist where he's driving around in a Rolls Royce and he had a $500 suit. Well, $500 is probably a little bit low nowadays. $5,000 suit. We see the description of him later on, that the best way to describe him, that the messengers were stopped by him, and Ahaziah asked them, well, who is it? Describe him. He was really hairy and he had a leather belt. If the best thing you've got going on, the best way to describe you is you're hairy and you've got a leather belt, that doesn't describe a lot of wealth, does it? Elijah wasn't trying to make money off his religion. He was trying to get Israel back in step with God. This family had done so much to pull Israel away from God. And God, being who He is, had poured out His anger upon them time and time again to get them back to where they needed to be so He would fulfill His will with them. We have today people putting their faith in dead gods, useless things. And it is us, we stand up and we say, those things are useless, those things are harmful, those things will hurt you and kill you. Don't do them. Oh man, that old preacher. They just want to manipulate people. No, I want to warn you. I want to warn you. You know, I talk about drinking, and I think the reason why we preachers preach on drinking so much is because there is a high emotional reward that comes with it. People like the sensation. But what they don't like to think about is how easily they can slip into it. I've never met a person. Why? I take that back. I've met a couple. But for the most part, people who are deep in their, I'll call it addiction, but deep in their drinking, you know what they'll almost never tell me? I've got a problem. That's why in Alcoholics Anonymous, the very first thing they say is, the very first step is to admit you got a problem. They don't like to admit they got a problem. Hey, don't... Awful lot of cans in here. Are you sure you're okay? You're good? No, I'm fine. I had a guy one time, they called us up in the office. There's this guy wandering around, and normally I'd leave him alone, but he just fell right into one of the carports. And I go, well, where is he? I go out there, and sure enough, there's a man passed out. And I panicked. I didn't know he was drunk. He hit his head. I called the ambulance. He got up, decided he was going to walk back. And I'm thinking, this guy just rang his bell so hard. He's wandered all over the place. I get him back to his apartment. I get his keys from his pocket. I go, here, let me open the door for you, man. We're going to get the ambulance to come. We just come on in. Why don't you sit down? Because you won't sit down. We'll come in here. We'll get you on the couch. You sit down. Whole table was filled with cans of beer. And I go, hey, I got a question for you. You drink? No, I don't touch the stuff. You sure you didn't have, like, I'm not the cops, man, and I ain't your daddy. But like, and I'm religious, but I ain't your pastor. Like, I need to know to tell the ambulance, just in case you pass out again, what's coursing through you. It's no big deal, man. You're a full grown man. No, I nothing to drink. Okay. Well, the ambulance showed up. He refused to ride to the hospital, refused to go with him. Well, there's nothing we can do. We're just going to let him sleep it off. I go, all right, fine. We'll let him sleep it off. 5 minutes later, he broke into a car. Not because he aimed to break into a car, but because he couldn't tell that car from another car. I think she was a 19, 20-year-old girl. She was on her way to college. Jumped out to her car. There's this man passed out behind the wheel of her car. I go out there, come on, and I'm telling, hey, man, listen, we're going to put you on the golf cart. I put him on the golf cart, he fell off the golf cart. I'm not making fun of him. This isn't for comedy purposes. The man, the rest of the day, swore up and down, I ain't touched a thing. Beer, and if I did, beer don't make me like this. But it does. And what I'm describing to you is not a comical scene of a man who is struggling, but a real scene of a man who is so far deep caught up into something that we ought not to be touching, that he could not recognize that he was in its clutches. We see these people, I'll smoke a little weed, that's not a big deal. And they put their faith in it. Oh, here's my anxiety, and it helps me to be a better person. And I tell you what, it makes me better at my job. You ever see somebody high off their gourd, doing an absolute joke of whatever it is that they're doing, but wake up the next morning going, hey, I really killed it last night. I really did a good job. That wasn't you. That was the booze talking. That was the drugs talking. You've had a good time, so you thought you did well. But in all actuality, you got fired last night. You got fired. Oh, man, I'm the best employee they got. You show up 30 minutes late, smelling like a Bob Marley concert, and I caught you sleeping 5 times yesterday. You're not the hardest worker we've got. But we put our faith in these things because that is what we see going on around us, and we get excited about it, and we think, oh, it's going to be okay. What about these people that think that the answer to everything is more government? And not just more government, more of the kind of government I support, right? You see, what I want is a powerful Republican government. What I want is a powerful Democratic government. And what they'll do is they'll take rights away from the bad guys and they'll give the rights to me. You know what I've noticed about government? They don't do that. They take the rights and it goes away. I was talking to Brother Mark this morning. I told you all about this. I think that we get that $20 charge now quarterly. We got to take our water sample down. Not by any fault of us. It's a reward that all of us in Genesee County get to have. If you're not using the municipal supply, you got to bring it in quarterly, $20, and you're a church, so you've got billions of dollars. So bring it on in. Now that's not going to hurt us, I don't think. But you stinkers. Now, brothers, shouldn't we want safe water? We should want safe water. But you own the lab. It's been yearly up till now. It's been free up to now. So I handed that to Brother Mark. Hey, Brother Mark, here's this thing. $20 a quarter is what we're going to have to do. I'll go down there. I'll take the water sample in. We'll slide the card. And the deal will be over. But then also, was it $160? $180! It went up. No. $180. We give them yearly as a fee because we don't use their water. Now, wait a minute. Where did the money go from the $180 that now I've got to pay quarterly for you to do the same job you were doing yearly before? Well, the test went up. Then why go to quarterly? See, the money went up. Where did it go? See, the government likes doing that. They'll do that with your rights. I brought that out, right? Proposal 3, one of the amazing parts about that, right? In the end, if there's a debate over whether or not somebody should or should not have an abortion, who gets to decide? Is it mom or dad? Is it the... No, it's the state. State gets to decide. Why? Because we're going to take that right away from parents, and who are we going to give it to? No one. We're going to keep it. Why would I give you rights? But we're going to tell you that we're giving you rights. And then these people go, oh, yes, that's wonderful. And by the time they're able to vote and by the time they have kids, they all of a sudden get to realize that they've set a precedent for what? Not having rights over your kids. My kids should be able to do what you want, whatever they want. Okay, have fun with that. Have fun raising that. Have fun watching that, because I've known kids who are allowed to do whatever they wanted. And I see the lives that they have right now. Some of them are in jail. Some of them are wrought with anxiety and frustration over the decisions that they made when nobody taught them discipline. Some of them are sitting there pointing their fingers at mom and dad. You never taught me how to do this well enough. Well, you never listened to me teaching you. You never thought that you were worthy. You never thought I was worthy for you to listen to. We put our faith in the wrong gods. And when we make our bed, we are forced to lie in it. We're forced to lie in it. We see that Ahaziah, he not only rebelled against God in reaching out to this stone idol, but he did worse than that. Verse 5, and when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto them, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now, a lot of people would sit there and they would see that and they would say, wow, that's kind of a strong response, don't you think? Calling down fire and God killing those 51 people. Let me remind you, when you send 51 soldiers to somebody, it's not for a casual conversation. It is an act of war. There's the man of God. There's 50 soldiers and their captain. You don't fight God that way. Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll pass hate crime laws, and I do. I think that you should never hurt anybody because you disagree with them. You should never hurt anybody because you don't like them. We ought to be able to live in this country and have a large amount of tolerance. The Bible tells us to love each other and not to seek to hurt each other. I firmly believe that, but at the same time, that's not what those hate crime laws are for. Well, it makes it illegal for them to kill gay people. That's called murder. It is illegal. Well, it makes it illegal for them to hit people. Well, that's called assault, and it is illegal. It is a redundancy law so that we could loop in if certain things are said, we could crack down on them. Now, I'm not for pour not hate. That's not the way the Bible tells us to do it. But eventually there's going to come a day when it's going to be illegal to say certain things publicly. And I'm kind of in trouble because all my stuff's recorded on the internet. You can't hide that. They won't need my laptop on that one because they've already got it. We'll shut them up. Well, here's the problem. Historically, with God's people, we don't shut them up. We'll squash them. We'll hide loudly. That's what happens. I mean, we diaspora a lot. We spread out a lot. Oh, you don't like it here? Well, come find us out here in the woods where we're preaching the gospel out here. Well, we don't allow that in our country. Well, I'm going to go to a country where it is allowed. Well, I'm going to stay in this one. I'm going to make it real hard for you to find me. You know, I get those Voices of the Martyrs, that magazine. And I see people in foreign countries that have to hide their faith. And the government comes up to their doors or to the doors of their family members. Where are they? They have church services. China, it's illegal, but they have church services. Where it's against the law to have Christianity in some of these Muslim countries, they have church services. You can't shut us up. God won't let us shut up. Is that not what we read? I tried to stay silent. It burned me on the inside. Had to let it out. What about the disciples? We cannot but speak. We can't stop. That's what's going to happen. Oh, you'll scare a handful here or there. But I've noticed our churches decreasing in number. And I think that's to spare us a broken heart later. Folks, there's nothing they can do. If there's anything in this message, I want you to realize this, is that whatever's going on in this world, there's nothing they can do. We're going to keep preaching. Well, we got close. We got it to where you weren't allowed to meet in a church. Do it again. We'll meet in the parking lot. Yeah, but you can't get together for the purpose of preaching anymore. Okay. We'll get together in a backyard. We will. Some of y'all got backyards we could get lost in, you know? I'm not going to stop. You can't. Well, I tell you what, we're going to pass this law. We're going to do this. We're going to get more government. We're going to grab a hold of kids. Not my kids. No, we're gonna get rid of this homeschool notion. We're gonna get rid of this Christian school notion, and you gotta come to us for education. I'm gonna fight you. I'll fight you on it. I'll become the biggest nuisance you've ever heard of to make sure we can keep doing what we're doing. Well, all right, well, fine, we're gonna do it. Go ahead. We'll lock you up. Prison ministry. We'll put you in solitary. I needed time to fast and pray anyway. That sounds very arrogant. Yeah, you know what? I do sound very arrogant. I hope I can keep these promises. But you know what I found? I found a whole bunch of people alive today. They'll go to jail for their faith. And I know God can give that wit and that wisdom and that strength. I find people in Scripture that could do it. And they were able to sing hymns and songs. If I start singing in prison, you better put me in solitary. You'll have a different kind of riot. Shut him up! He rebelled real good. We'll take your kids away. We'll do this. We'll do that. The world is rebelling against God hard. But they're making their bed. And they'll lie in it. Send 50. And their captain. God will take care of those. You know what he did? Ahaziah sent another 50 and one captain. And guess what happened to them? And what kills me, what gets me, is Ahaziah, with his mommy Jezebel in the back, should have caught on to the particular message the Lord was sending. Do you remember that time? You built this altar. You put your sacrifice on it. And you beat your drums and you hollered and you shouted. And old Baal, he must have been sleeping. Remember when your prophets started cutting on themselves and mutilating their bodies for their service to him? And he didn't even dare to speak. And yet at a simple request from my father, the fire fell. Consumed the soggy, wet altar. I mean, he did. He unbalanced the scale real hard, didn't he? Throw some water on it. Good. Now throw some more water on it. Lord. You see people out there, they're taking the pills to mutilate their bodies, change their hormones. They're spending gobs of money to have doctors cut them up so they can finally feel good. And still need the anxiety medication. You got people out there, they cut off their parents, they stop going to the church, they put whatever they want into their lives. And yet there's nothing to help them raise their kids. There's nothing to help them when the fire falls and the troubles come and they're on their own beds. And yet I know with just a moment of conversation to my Lord, I'm either going to get an answer to my prayer or I'm going to get comfort during the time when I don't have an answer. You ought to remember what God can do. How good he can be to his people. And how hard those spankings are. I'm about to turn 36. My dad enters into the room. You know what I still do? I still stand up. Because my dad expected me to be doing stuff. Ooh, hey, Dad. How you doing? My dad will call me on the phone. Hey, Dad, what do you need? What can I do for you? I still have that respect. I remember. There's two things I remember. I remember how far my dad would be willing to go for me. The things that he would do for me. For all of his faults and all of his sins. The care that my dad put into me. I remember. So I still, as a grown man, want to please my dad. And no, I'm not happy with all the things he did. He's not happy with all the things he did. He's not happy with all the things I did. We did not have a perfect relationship. Why? Because we're two sinners living in a house. The other thing that I remember is how hard my dad would spank. I do. See, Mom would, and she's going to listen to this later, and I'm going to get a phone call, but Mom would get you right there in the moment. Wah, 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 wah. And if there was a race car track or a spatula, wah, 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 and then she'd feel better and that was over. Dad had none of the emotion, but all of the strength. So mom would hit you 12, 13, 14 times with something, and it wouldn't really hurt all that bad, and really you're just trying to get out of her clutch. Dad was... I still remember. Now, many people, they get up and they tell stories about how, yeah, my dad and I, we came to blows. I was a coward. I'm not going to fight my dad. Right? Now, I'm a big guy. You're going to have a hard time knocking me over. I'm still not going to pick a fight with my dad because deep down inside, there's a small boy thoroughly convinced that my dad will whip me. My great-grandmother, she threatened to take my brother over her knee and spank him at the age of 16 years old. And every part of me believed that not only could she, but she would. Not because I'm afraid of spankings, but because my great-grandmother was a woman you do not mess with. My dad is a man as small a stature as he is, you do not mess with. Ahaziah, for lack of learning, did not know that you don't mess with God. This world out there right now, don't cower before what they're going to do tomorrow on Tuesday. Don't cower before what they're going to do up in the White House. Don't cower what they're going to do over in Lansing. Don't cower. Don't be afraid of them. Because what they don't learn, what they don't know, what they refuse to have picked up in Sunday school is that you don't mess with God. You don't mess with Him. Called down the fire once, called down the fire twice. But I like this guy. I like the third guy. Third guy was smart. Verse 13. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came down fire. They came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. You know what's eventually going to happen? When all the roosters come home, you know what's going to happen? They're going to see how the policies hurt them. When all the rights are taken away and while we're calling one side fascist, we're embracing fascism on the other side, and that comes back to on us. They're going to hit down on their knees. We rejected God in how we treat unborn children. And this has now come for us. We disrespected God and His creation, and this is what has happened to us. And yes, we have persecuted, and yes, we have fought against your God, but help. Perhaps some of us in this room have been there, and that's how we came to Christ, as we were so against Him, and then something happened, and all of a sudden we came running to Him. Lord, I was against you, but now I need you. It is important for us not to wait. Not to wait until the penalty is due. Not to wait till the check comes. To repent and ask God for help. You see, this third man, he learned. He knew. You don't make demands of God. You don't go to war with God. What we ought to do as a nation, I tell you, a Republican governor, a Republican president is not going to help our country a lick. We could ransack the entirety of the White House and local state government, fill it with Baptist preachers, and we're still going to be in trouble. There is no Messiah politically. What we need to do as a nation is to get down on our knees, bury our faces in the Word, and proclaim, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. I tell you what, we'd fix a lot of drug problems. we'd fix a lot of the poor. We'd fix a lot of the suffering. We'd be able to help a lot more in prison. We'd have a lot less issues and a lot less debt if we just did things the way God told us to do them in the first place. But as we see in Scripture, the world will continue to become more corrupt and more corrupt. Now here's the thing. I firmly believe that it is possible for us to squeak out a revival or two. I'm not one of those preachers that believe, well, this is it! It's over! Because it could always have been over and then there was the revival. That's it! Lord's coming back! And revival after revival took place afterwards. I firmly believe we could have revival in our churches. I fully believe we could have revival in our country. But we do see that in the end game, we will be more corrupt than we have ever been. And what we have to understand is we do this to ourselves. As a nation, we do this to ourselves personally. When we not only compromise, but we full out rebel against God. And we put our faith and our trust in devices that don't matter and cannot help. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Verse 17, so he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. I tell you what, if ever I was a king, my eye would be on my firstborn son. And I want to make sure he knows what he's doing. I want to make sure he's got all the tools he's got available. Ahaziah had no son. You see, God had so thoroughly punished Ahab and Jezebel and Ahaziah that the bloodline ceased. We're going to come up on a time when we see the things that this world is doing have a horrific effect on them. You see, I don't believe that Ahaziah just died because of his wounds. Because I firmly believe this, that if Ahaziah had repented, I kind of want to think the Lord would have saved his life. Now, the Lord's going to do what he's going to do. I'm not rewriting scripture here. I can't tell you for certain. But let me tell you about a small town named Nineveh. Well, it's not a small town, a big city named Nineveh. What was Jonah's message to them? Repent or God's going to destroy you? Nuh-uh. What was the message? In 40 days, God's going to destroy you. That was it. That was the whole message. In 40 days, God is going to judge this town. You know what they did? They put on the sackcloth. And the king says, let's fast. Let's put on the sackcloth. Put the sackcloth on the animals. Who knows? If we repent, maybe the Lord will forgive us and turn away from this evil. You know what the Lord did? You know what the Lord did. He forgave them. Listen, we would sit there if this was just the story of God's creation getting out of hand and we lost our mind because we were genetically predispositioned to lose our mind. Yes, God would be cruel, but we have to pass over the term repentance to call him that. We have the ability to repent. We have the ability to stop the nonsense, turn to God, and say, I'm doing it your way. We could do it as a nation. We could do it as a church. We could do it as a family. We could do it as a singular person. Repentance is a wonderful thing. Whole groups of people can do it at once. One person can do it by themselves. What this world needs is repentance. To see the evil of the things that we are doing. Well, brother, I don't know. That's a bit of a far stretch to say that, you know, as a country we're procuring evil. Let's talk about this for a second. When you were reading through those proposals, and in every couple of years when you have to read through proposals, you ever get confused? Yeah, you do. Now, some of you are smarter than me. Possibly you don't, but I do. Wonder why you get confused? Is because you lack intelligence? No. It's because they write those things tricky. Why do you write it tricky? So I could do whatever I want with it. Sometimes you leave a little wiggle room. Sometimes you phrase things in such a way. Or how about this thing that we do on a national level, where to get one bill passed, we have 7,000 other things attached to it. And the way that it's presented, it's written as thousands of pages, and you've got 2 hours to read it. I'm a fast reader, but what on earth are we doing? We've designed a no-win system. We are committing atrocities. We are lying to each other. We are putting each other out. Clearly the people who live in this country are too dumb. It's a good thing we've got people like AOC out there to represent us. I love her. I tell you what. I hate Democratic leaders. But if ever she loses her position, it's going to be a sad day for comics everywhere. Do you see the last stand that she took for free speech? Against Twitter costing $8 to get that little blue check next to your name. Thank you for fighting for my freedom of speech. What would I do without you? Because I would never, I mean, because that's freedom of speech, right? Speeching should be free and not cost me $8 to be popular. What are we doing? Could you imagine going to George Washington? What was the big thing in the news with our politicians? Well, we had one. And she's on this app where she gets to just talk however she wants. Like a newspaper? No. Because most of the time it's not true news. It's just insults and whatnot. Oh, okay. All right. And she made a really big stink because the person who owned the social media thing didn't like or wanted to charge for her to be popular on it. So she didn't like that. Oh, well, that's dumb. I know. And American people were expected to eat that up and get distracted by that. Like so often we do when big things get passed through the House and the Senate, and we've got something ridiculous going on in the news to distract us. They think you're stupid. And they set things up so that we can be stupid. We're treating people awfully. We really are. Remember the Black Lives Movement? You know how many millions of dollars the people that ran that thing made? What was the name of that one lady? She bought three big old mansions with the money she made off. Why couldn't we take that money, put it into the schools that need it? If we're really caring about these people, why aren't we taking that money to care for people? We've got schools out there, they're using textbooks that you used. Your name are probably on somebody's textbook right now. Why didn't we use that money for that? Because we're corrupt. But there's an option. We repent. Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry for what we did with the children. We're sorry what we did it to each other as adults. We're sorry for the lies. We're sorry for the destruction. We're sorry for the things that we caused in other countries. We are sorry. We're doing it your way. We're doing it your way. Now, I can't control the country. I wish there was a sermon that could be preached that would cause all of the country to repent. But what I can do is in my own private life, make sure I'm not Ahaziah. What I can do is preach to anybody in my country that would listen that we ought not to put our trust in men like Ahaziah. That we are not to put our trust in the things that this world says is beneficial, but neither hears us, sees us, nor cares. Oh, well, see, we've got to make people happy. People are fickle creatures. We're fickle creatures. We don't always want what's best for us. I can preach locally. I could preach as loud as I can. But folks, the most important work will be done right here in my own life, so that I'm not putting my faith in useless things, so that I'm not acting like there ain't a God in my life that I can go to. Why are you putting that in your body? Well, it helps me to feel better. Well, that's good. If what's wrong with you? I just get sad and nervous. Now, again, I'm not talking about clinical things. There are some deep, deep things that absolutely need treatment. But I take this, 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 and that. I take this oil, I put it right here and right here, and it makes me feel joy. Are you out of your mind? Is there not a God you could go to for some joy? What I do is I get up every morning, I eat a big old bowl of this, and I tell you what, it really makes my day wonderful. Is there not a God you could put your trust in for that? Well, sometimes just there's a lot going on in my life and things aren't going well right now. So I get anxiety. So I do this, this, and that. I take a little bit of the CBD. I take a little bit of marijuana. Is there not a God that could help you clean some of that up? Get your life back in order so you don't have that. Not. Would much rather just pop the pill or smoke the dope or whatever. It's a lot easier for me to both have the problems and to do that. Are you out of your mind? Is there not a God in your life? Is there not a God in America? Is there not a God in this world that you can go to find that solution? If we do anything other, we're no better than Ahaziah, turning to our stone gods as though there's not a bigger, more real one that could help us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, I just ask, Lord, that you watch over us. Help us not to be hypocritical of these things to where we preach we preach your word and we proclaim your word, but we don't obey your word. And when we use you for a good time at church, we use you for good songs, we use you to make ourselves look better, but the Lord, when we have trouble, we don't come to you at all. Help us not to be that way. But Lord, help us to instead envelop everything we do around you, to take from you wisdom, to take from you knowledge, and Lord, to obey that. Lord, our lives will be woefully sad if we don't. Lord, we know this, that if we make our bed, we'll be set to lie in it. But Lord, we're grateful for repentance. We're grateful for your mercy and for your forgiveness. Lord, help us to implore you for it. Help us to submit to you, so that, Father, we ourselves do not get caught up in our own sin. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.